This morning's message is coming from the book of Isaiah, the 23rd chapter, verses 1 through 18, entitled, Our Perception of Wealth. How do we view the wealth that God had given us? How do we view the revenues, the clothing, the homes, whatever material aspect that we have that God has given us and had multiplied in us? How do we see that wealth? Where do we see it coming from, the source of that? That in turn kind of enumerates how you use that wealth, what you channel it to, and in the giving of it. This morning in the book of Isaiah, the 23rd chapter, we say the burden of Tyre. And it's not so much focused upon the destruction of Tyre as the return of Tyre after completion of 70 years to a status of still being a harlot or a fornicator, but them dedicating their wealth and their positions, their possessions to God. When we say a harlot city or a harlot or whatever, it makes me think of Rahab. It makes me think of in the New Testament when he says publicans or harlots are entering the kingdom of God before the Pharisees and some of the religious people. Looking at Tyre, Tyre was a city, it was a Phoenician city, and it had roots. Some of the ancestors of it derived from the tribe of Naphtali and other tribes around. And so, you know, I'm not linking a close kinship with them, but it would be parallel. I would look at it as the United States today, a nation that God had blessed to get wealth, but a nation which I see don't really realize, don't understand the God that they testify of or witness of, that it's other God, it's another Jesus that they're serving with their wealth. And it's not glorifying to God. Now, Tyre was a merchant city. It's commerce. They was good at, just like the United States. They were good at what they did. That was merchandising, except for the exception that they didn't produce anything. They were just sellers of merchandises of good, trading or whatever. And they had expanded. The first chapter says, the burden of Tyre. How ye ships of Tarshish, foot is laid waste, so that there is no house, no entering in from the land of Chittim. It is revealed to them. Be still ye inhabitants of the isle, thou whom the merchants of Zidon that pass over the sea have replenished. And by great waters the seed of Siphon, the harvest of the river, it is her revenue, and she is a mart of nations. Be thou ashamed, O Zidon, for the sea hath spoken, even the strength of the sea, saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins. As a report concerning Egypt, so shall they be sorely pained at the report of Tyre. Pass ye over to Tarshish, how ye inhabitants of the isles. Is this your joyous city whose antiquity is of ancient days? Her own feet shall carry her afar off to sojourn. Who had taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers are the honorable of the earth? The Lord of hosts has proposed it, to stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. Pass through thine land as a river, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no more strength. He stretched out his hand over the sea, it shook the kingdoms. The Lord had given a commandment against the merchant city, to destroy the strongholds thereof. And he said, thou shalt no more rejoice, O thou oppressed virgin, daughter of Zidon. Arise, pass over to Shittim. There also shalt thou have no rest. Thou shalt have no rest. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans, This people was not, till the Assyrian founded it for them that dwell in the wilderness. They set up the towers thereof, they raised up the palaces thereof, and he brought it to ruin. How ye ships of Tarshish for strength, your strength is laid waste. And it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years, according to the days of one king. After the end of 70 years shall Tyre sing as a harlot. Take an harp, go about the city, thou harlot that hast been forgotten. Make sweet melody, sing many songs that thou mayest be remembered. And it shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall turn her hire and shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the earth, on the face of the earth. Verse 18 says, and her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured nor laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently and for durable goods. I wanted to concentrate on that verse, that her goods, her merchandise, would be unto the Lord, she would give unto the Lord. Now, we're not talking a conversion here. I'm not looking at the aspect of repentance or conversion. Pardon. We'll look at that another time. That's why I asked to open the window for the air to circulate across open air, since this of this coronavirus thing or whatever, the heat, if it's not warm enough still, if you're getting a little bit cooler, just up the heat or whatever, we do want the air to circulate a little bit. But Tyre, now this wasn't speaking of all the people of Tyre. If you want to maybe look at a lateral picture of Tyre, because in the book of Acts, around the 21st chapter, 23rd chapter of Acts, they have a church at Tyre, and Tyre is maybe 38-40% Christian still at this date. But Tyre would more or less parallel the church at Laodicea in the book of Revelation. It says, these things said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation. I know that thine works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, I am increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of the gold tried in the fire, that mayest be rich, and white raiment, that mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eyesight, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as in my Father, as I have overcome, and sit down with my Father in his throne. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Speaking to the church in general, he's saying, you're hot, neither hot nor cold. You worship me. We looked in Isaiah and some of the other books in Amos where the people was bringing money and their offerings to God, but their heart wasn't in it. Their heart wasn't in it. And that's the same thing the Pharisees did. They tied mint coming and dealing all these things. But he says, you do all these things, which is fine, but you forget about the weightier matters of the law. That's why I wanted to make this kind of a factual sermon today and I'll do a little bit more reading than I normally do. But I want us to see, just going to church, just giving to God, doesn't glorify God. Can you understand that? God is not like an insurance company where you just pay in a premium and you cover it against all things. Because even an insurance policy says, barring any acts of God. In other words, you're not insured if that happens as an act of God, you're not covered because nobody can cover you against the judgment of God. So in insurance policies, there was a lot of problems during the Hurricane Katrina, whether it was the water from the hurricane or whether it was the wind that it blew, whether they was going to cover you or not. But with God, it's whether you've been converted, whether your heart's been changed, because it's going to be many in that day that come to him and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name? They had given and they had did works or whatever, but they hadn't changed. And that's the thing about Tyre. And it's a more numerous destruction that we can look in the 36th chapter, in the 32nd chapter, 38th chapter, and all these chapters of Ezekiel. For more cause of the destruction, but it was pride. They were proud. They were very proud. They was a proud people, and they used their wealth as the Laodicean. They say they were rich, their wealth, and they had need of nothing. Really, they didn't even really need God. You remember, this is the church where he say he stands at the door and knock, and if any man opens up the door, he'll come in and sup with him. In other words, the wealth, being rich or being wealthy, sometimes God, if you realize it, God's the one who gives you that power that had to acquire that wealth, if you're a child of God. But then along the same lines, some people have a knack of forgetting where they come from. You know, sometimes you can be raised in poverty, just like this nation. This nation called itself leaving Great Britain, leaving Britain because of taxation, and they wanted religious freedom. But now, its own people are hollering and talking about the taxes of the nations levied, the taxes upon the people that's levied upon the people. And you see what happens when you have religious freedom or whatever, one of the most religious nations on the earth, but they have even corrupted Christianity, the apostate church. And you have religion running the government now in politics. So the church has apostatized. So here we Isaiah announces the purpose that the Lord is bringing this trouble upon Tyre. If you look at that verse 13, it says, behold, the land of the Chaldeans. This was not till the Assyrians founded it for them that dwell in the wilderness. They set up the towers thereof, and they raised up the palaces thereof, and it brought, and he brought it to ruin. My first point is acquiring wealth. It was established through some of the Assyrian people. Tyre was established through some of the Assyrians. There was a migratory people. There was the Phoenicians people. And Assyria is one of the nations that helped destroy Tyre. Because sometimes we get a little bit too big for our britches and we turn on the people who had gotten us here, who had gotten us to a place. It is God who had given you the power to get wealth, of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, the 11th through 20th verse. And God had told his people Israel, because Israel, during the time of David and Solomon, was some of the ones that helped Tyre to establish itself. But I'm not going to... There was a lot of destruction that came upon Tyre, because Tyre wanted to eliminate Israel. Because with Israel out of the way, that they could make much more money. It would be advantageous to them to get rid of some of the people or some of the things that was hindering their bottom line or their profit line. So we have to look at the world and look at things in life and see what type of person we are in here. Where are we going with this? It says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his judgments, precepts, his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Otherwise, when you've eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have increase. Then your heart will become lifted up by conceit and arrogance, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of bondage. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. It was he who brought water for you out of the flinty rock. He fed you manna in the wilderness, a substance which your father did not know, so that he might humble you by dependence on him, and that he might test you, listen at that word, that he might try you to do good things for you at the end. Otherwise, you might say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made this wealth for me. I think I'm hearing that in a lot of places in this nation, that they've pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps or whatever. This has become a very wealthy nation, just like Tyre did off the backs of the slaves. That was one of the things God held against them. You remember in Amos, I talked to you Wednesday night, that they sold and bought their brother, the brethren, and sold to Egypt. In other words, they was in the slave trade, human. And you hear, during the Super Bowl last year, one of the Super Bowls, they talked about Robert Kraft, owner of the New England Patriots, patronizing a massage parlor or whatever, and that's where a lot of the human trafficking thing was going to. So a lot of the wealth in this nation, and you've heard about the child labor, and you've heard about Nike and a lot of these different companies that's making money contracting out labor across the nations to these factories and things that's using child labor or whatever. There are nations and there are people, and they said a lot of the things, the people, the reason a lot of the Black Lives Matter and everything here, out of the slave trade, indentured slavery, a lot of the slavery in this nation, that's why the Civil War was fought, was to free the slaves. The South fought to hold them in bondage of slavery, and it hasn't disappeared to this day. And that's why under the Trump administration, you're seeing the nation coming into a steady end, because it's still going on. If you look all the way back to where Tyre was of the Phoenicians, when we talk about Tyre and Sidon, we're talking about Ahab who married Queen Jezebel. But if you look in the book of Revelation, it's still talking about that woman Jezebel who teached and seduced her servants. Seduced his servants. I was thinking about that the other night when I was watching something from Jimmy Kimmel, and it had this White House advisor on there, the pastor of one of Trump's White House advisors, Paula White, this woman, that was preaching to the congregation and teaching about triumphing or whatever. But see, that's what I say. Through religion, we've forgotten it was God that given us power to get wealth. And God was going to slay Jezebel and her children and kill those children if you look at the book of Thyatira where Jezebel was. So we're talking about spirit being spirits that are out there. It says she taught and seduced her children, eating things sacrificed to idols and fornication, and departing away from the doctrine. Doctrine is very important. That's what he's saying here, that you would forget the statutes that he had given us. He said, and it shall come about if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them. I testify against you today that you will most certainly perish, like the nations which the Lord calls to perish before you. So shall you perish because you would not listen to and obey my voice. Now, in that analogy, you have to look at the things coming up against some of our children, our brothers and sisters, our neighbors and people. They say they're Christian. They say they're just like us. They follow Jesus or whatever. But what is your God doing for you? How are you glorifying God? Is your life is a pattern for God? Are people looking at you and say, you know, I want to serve his God. I like his independence. I like his life. I like what he stands for, the principle. I like his character. You know, God wants us to multiply. When I come up here and I see Deacon in a brand new truck, I'm like, man, thank God. I say, look at that, Sister Jackson. She say, I'm happy for him. I hope that's his. I say, but man, I know it, you know. And I felt good just because God wants to see his people prosper. Because that's a thorn in him for that to hold up. But see, if he had been robbing God, if he don't pay tithes and offerings, if he don't put his heart fully vested in God, you're not glorifying God. You're glorifying yourself at the expense of tipping God or just giving God just a portion. But I know what time you get here. On, you know, this morning I was like, well, Deacon hadn't called me. It's 6:30 and it's late, you know, because he called me around 6. So I know what time you get up here. I know you come up here and make sure everything is right. I have the text. I didn't send it to you when you always, and I was going to text it. I said, he's going to say that he's on and everything is right and everything is ready. The table is ready for you and see it according to you. See, because God's people, wealth didn't bother Job. Job lost all he had, but he was a servant of God, and his heart was fully after following God. But there are some in this nation, there are some in this. I hate to see senators like Ron Johnson. I hate to see a Senate people blocking a measly $1,200 stimulus payment to people that are waiting in line 4, 5, or 6 hours to get food. That have worked all of their lives and paid into this government, that are paying their salaries, and they're against them getting a little bit to help them through the time when they can't work. You're getting, and the Congress gets raises annually. A lot of times they get a whole lot of raises and they get a retirement, even if they've been there 5 or 6 years or whatever. When they leave, they get a full retirement. You see, but what happens is they forgot where they come from. They forgot who given them power to get well. Some of them say, well, we can give them $600. And $600, and a lot of people say, well, we'll take that, but really you can't do much with $600, let alone $1,200. You know, $1,200, you know, is tipping the cart for a lot of people. But we hate to see others begrudge others. But Tyree here, I think it was a lot of people like that. Let's kind of measure this out here, what I'm talking about. King Solomon's wealth was not lasting because of the way he acquired his wealth. The way he acquired his wealth, just like this nation, just like Britain, just like any nations of the world. The reason governments rise and fall in the length of any government is around 200 to 300 years, and that government goes out and another government comes in. That's why the government here may be towards its end, towards its set. But the nation will rise again, not as the United States. It might rise under that, but God's going to purge the nation just like he purged Tyre. But even though at that time there still would be the ones left in there that God leaves to help prove us. Because when he had given the land, the Canaanite land, that's where Tyre and the Sidonians, that's where they was, and God had given it to his people. They didn't completely push them out, as I was telling you in the book of Joshua. I'm trying to remember the chapter, the 19th chapter, 29th verse or something. You see Tyre was there. They didn't fully conquer them. What happened if you don't fully conquer the people as God tell you to go in and conquer and don't leave any, just like he told Saul not to leave any among Amalek. When you don't totally conquer or overcome your enemy, they become thorns or pricks in your side or whatever. But if we see Solomon, you remember Solomon prayed to God for understanding, wisdom and understanding to lead and guide God's people. Solomon prayed that prayer just like a lot of us pray to God for things. But what happened when you get those things? What happened when you pray to God to heal you and God heals you? When you pray for some financial blessing, when you pray for some material blessing and God does what he does, God says that he'll take that from you if you don't glorify him with that. If it's not used for his purpose. Remember I was telling you about C.L. Franklin, Aretha Franklin was the daughter of C.L. Franklin, she was very popular or whatever. But God gifts are not unto repentance. Sometimes you can use those gifts serving the devil. As I told you, Bob Dylan says, you got to serve somebody. But see, that's what makes you a harlot or prostitute. That's what happened with Gomer. You took what God had given you. If God had given you your money, your job, whatever God's given you, and you use it, somebody could stay at your house because you say, it's not my house. God has given me my house. And so if I got an open room, I got a place for you to stay. You got a place to stay. If God given me my vehicle, my car, or whatever, I can take you somewhere. I could pick up someone or whatever. I remember one of the members was talking about getting back and forth or whatever. I said, well, check with Deacon there. Deacon will come get you or take you there because, you know, I don't think Deacon would say, well, if you ain't got no money, I can't come get you. I just don't have time for you. Well, he's not that kind. He believes in what he's saying. But a lot of us and got things of this nation have gotten places instead of saying that we are religious or godly nation. But when our brothers and sisters are down, we can't give them the crumbs that fall from the table. We can't, the stimulus, they still arguing and fighting over it. Either you will give it to them or you're not. But if they go deeper and deeper in the debt and some of them get way, way out there, sometimes it's too late to You the towels didn't got out of the barn. It's too late to close the barn door. But Solomon, he got this wealth, but God had to appear to Solomon two different occasions and say, Solomon, don't intermingle with these foreign wives or these strange women, or they'll draw your heart away from it. They'll draw your heart away from it, Solomon. You have to be careful of women. That's been happening throughout lifetime. That started with Adam in the garden. Eve got him fixed up. But King Solomon loved many strange women. The book of 1 Kings, I think it is, the 11th chapter, the 1st through the 10th verse. But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh. Women of the Moabites, that's always been an enemy of God's people. Even though they were related to God's people. Like I say, we all serve Jesus, we all serve God, but some of us serve them in a different way, and they serve God in a different way. You understanding what I'm saying? The Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, and the Hittites. He married all, Hittites, now that's way beyond the pale. The Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said, unto him the children of Israel. Now the Zidonians, that's where we're talking about Sidon, the Phoenicians, and Tyre. He said, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after other gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. He fell in love with them. He really loved them. He think he can do two things. God tell you not to do something. He's disobedient to God. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth. Y'all ever heard of the god Ashtoreth? Ashtoreth is the goddess of the Zidonians and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. She was a goddess of fertility. She was a goddess of fertility. And we know about the sexual deviancy in the world today. And every story, every soap opera, even on the cartoons and everything, have to have a love interest, has to have fornication or adultery or something, the bachelor or some dating or something going on in these things. But that's what Solomon had did. He drew himself way away from God through the women because what he did when he went in there, then they said, well, I got to go to church, Solomon, and so I said, I can't go way over there. Well, let me build your God a temple here. And he built temples to those women's gods. And she says, Solomon, I don't know about Jezebel going to the Lord's church, but she knew of God's word and understanding. That's how she killed Nabal. It was that she knew the law and she had held a feast and she was complicit in Nabal's death. But honey, I know your God and everything, but once you come go to church with me, come to the temple that you helped build. And he going to her church in that temple, bowing down to her gods. It ain't going to hurt that. You know, I'm strong enough to do that. You know, I'm Samson, you know. It ain't going to hurt me. I can tell you all the secrets God told me not to tell you. God says, don't tell everything that's in your heart. Some things you have to keep under your own, in your own, back here, you know. You can't let it all out. You can't tell people everything. But David wasn't anything like his father. I mean, Solomon wasn't anything like his father, David. And Hiram loved David. Hiram was the king of Tyre. Hiram gave David and helped David stockpile a lot of stuff to build the temple because David himself wasn't allowed to build his temple, but he prepared a lot for Solomon. He had such a relationship with David. Solomon wasn't quite as fair and didn't deal with him, and that's a shame. And the book of Proverbs tells you about your friends of your fathers, to seek counsel from friends of your fathers and different people that your father was friends with, because they would try to help you. I remember doing the I forgot what war it is, but during that time, Mitchell and two of the other senators and the chiefs of staff during the reign of George H. Bush, or George W.H. Bush, you know, the elder Bush, his friends and his counselors came in and tried to help the younger Bush and counsel him when he went into Afghanistan, when he started the war he was started. But he didn't listen to the older people. He listened at the younger people, and we're still in Afghanistan today, as of today. Just like David, when David was taxing the people and working with the people loved David, but he was kind of heavy-handed. You remember I said the United States was kind of heavy-handed with the taxes, and they said, look, Solomon, we'll serve you, but your father was kind of rough on us, but we'll serve you, we don't mind serving you, and if you would lighten up on us a little bit. But Solomon was heavy on the people than David was. Solomon wanted all these things, and he had went into conjunction with Hiram. Let me go through this part first. But I was trying to set that up, and I really blew it putting one part first. It was Solomon's son that they asked, lighten up because your dad is a little bit too hard. But Solomon wasn't like David, but the people liked it, David. But David didn't tax or treat the people to build the house of God as Solomon did. David was laying up stuff. You know how older people used to put stuff on layaway till you could get it out or whatever? Or older people pinch money back and put money back. Well, he had stockpiled a lot of stuff for Solomon. But Solomon, like the people nowadays, when they get married, they want everything right then. They're not going to save up for a bedroom suit. They're not going to save up for new cars or anything. They want it all right then. They're going to get deep in debt. And Solomon taxed the people heavily because he was building the Lord's house for 6 or 7 years in building the Lord's house, I think I told you the other week. But he was 13 years in building his own house, twice the amount of time building his own, and one of the wealthiest men. But God said he not only gave him wisdom and understanding, but he had given what? Power to get wealth. But you remember what he did, though? He didn't listen at his father. He didn't listen at God. So what he did was he married all of these other women to keep the peace around him, and they gave him endowments and everything, and Solomon was at peace. But what did peace cost him? You know, a lot of people will give their wife everything she wants just for to get her off his back. Huh? How many times you see the women or people in the store, instead of putting a paddle on some of these children, they buy them this and buy them that. Right now at this time of year, a lot of people go so far in debt because they want to keep the children or keep things, keep the peace in the family. Peace at what cost? He says, follow peace with all men as possible, but if it's going to compromise you with God, don't do it. And this is what caused the division of the nation of Israel, was Solomon's heavy-handed ways. And 1 Kings 5:1-11 says, and Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the space of David his father. For Hiram was ever a lover of David, and Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, Thou knowest how that David my father could not build an house unto the name of the Lord his God for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put him under the sole of his feet. But now the Lord my God had given me rest on every side, that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. Now, to get peace, it says, if your ways please the Lord, he can make your enemies to be at peace with you. But you have to watch how you're going about making peace. Because you can't let anyone violate your principles. This week we've heard some of the people in GOP, Mitt Romney says, this is disgusting. People are saying, we're weak if you go for this or whatever. Rush have tapped in and hacked our defense, our computers, our computer system, our electronic system. Our president is mum on it. He hadn't said anything. He said, now, Romney said, we can't let them do this. Or they've already came and flew planes into our airspace and we've done nothing. He says that Russia put out bounties on our soldiers and everything. This president has done nothing. Now Russia then tapped into the defense and to some of the private commercial industry throughout. The whole defense, the United States government has hacked these, and Pompeo said the same last night. We see where he's hadn't said anything. He said, oh, but I purple be president. You know, they cheated on me. It's fraud. Okay, this is something you can't prove, fraud on a major scale. There's no evidence of this. But here are your computer science people, all your technology people saying, hey, look, they done tapped our computers. They done hacked the computers. We can see where it was Russia did this, but you worried about something you can't see. None of your people saw it. They said, you fired the guy that said it wasn't any fraud, that this was the most secure election it was. This is the one that could have stopped Russia from doing what they're doing, but you didn't fire this guy for warning. The dog that did bark, you didn't fire him and run him off, but the dogs that lay in there won't bark, you giving them a free pass. He said, but now the Lord has given me peace on every side because you didn't marry all these people, your father-in-law. The Moabites, your father-in-law. Tyre is your father-in-law. The Sidonians is your father-in-law. Ahab, he was married to Jezebel. The king of the Phoenician, Tyre and Sidon, you didn't marry Jezebel, and that's how Jezebel's daughter got on the throne. You didn't marry the problem. Don't marry the problem. He says, don't be unequally yoked. He said, and behold, I purpose to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set up on the throne, thy throne in thy room, he shall build a house unto my name. Now therefore command thou that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon, and my servants shall be with thy servants. And it goes on all that which they was to do that Hiram did for David. How Hiram did for Solomon, and it was a contract that they had. It says, now at the end of 20 years in which Solomon had built the two houses and the temple of the Lord and the palace of the king, Hiram had supplied Solomon with much cedar and cypress, timber in Lebanon, and gold as he desired. Just tons of gold, all this stuff, because Tyre was the merchant of the nations. In other words, they built the ships. They was the shipmen of the place. They had the navies that can sail down in the trained labor that can float those logs, the cedar logs, all of the timber to build the temple. They brought all the gold, everything into that, the tin, all of the merchandise. I read the list to you the other day of all of the things that Hiram and that Tyre supply. He had all of these things and he brought them down and gave them to Solomon as part of their deal. At that time, King Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee, north of Israel. Now, this is where you'll see that these people in the book of Acts, the church that was with Paul or whatever, you'll see that Tyre, these were faithful people. The whole church went out when Paul was getting ready to leave, women and children and everything, and prayed for Paul in his missionary endeavor. So as a people, when you see your parents pray, when they bring all the children to prayer service, they openly by the sea praying with Paul as Paul was leaving that area. Well, this was a family affair. It was a community. And you don't see the churches nowadays. A lot of times, the children don't go to the same churches the parents go to. And the brothers and sisters don't go to the same church, but everybody is serving God. But that's why the divisions and the things going on, because materialism, they think gain is godliness. They got money and they got all these things, but they're not actually serving the living and true God. You serving God in holiness with the fear of God, but here's somebody riding on you, scamming you, lying to you and doing this. Look at the character of this nation. Doesn't Barack Obama character stand in contrast to the character of Donald Trump? If he was doing the lying and the conniving and the things that Trump has did, they'd have ran him out on the rail. But 70 or 80% of the evangelicals are standing behind Trump on these things. So it's something wrong with our religion somewhere. And all this merchandising, all that we're doing, it's not just a racial problem. Because Alan West in Texas, the GOP's the chairman of the GOP party in Texas, he's an African-American. So it's not just racial. The problem is, it's a spiritual problem. And that's what Tyre in the latter days, when Tyre, when they give their stuff to the Lord in the Laodicean church, the church was full, but you don't see a commendation say, I know thine works or whatever. So you see them having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof because they're not walking as God. We wouldn't want our pastor, our leaders to be like Jerry Falwell Jr. or some of Franklin Graham or some of these, what they commendating and saying and allowing to go, because within a church, the pastor can't allow sin in the church. We can't allow or put people in position that we, knowing these are open lies. How do we tell our children or whatever that we, what kind of character father has if I'm going along with a known liar, a known person that talks about people humility? He says, you've forgotten the weightier matters of the law. In other words, the principles, the character. I don't care about your money. I don't care. That's what God says. Then he says, don't bring me no more offerings. Don't bring me no more prayers and incense. Don't do anything because your heart's not with me. See, here's the problem. Solomon had works, but his heart wasn't with God. His heart wasn't with God. But when Hiram came from Tyre to see the cities which Solomon had given him, and they did not please him, he said, what are these cities good for, which you have given me, my brother? So they have been called the land of Kabul, like nothing unproductive. It's a wasteland. In other words, these are worthless. You ever did something good for somebody? It's like during this time of year, a lot of people could fall out with one another. Because they will give you a $500 or $600 Christmas gift and you will give them a box of candy or something. You will give them something and say, what is this? What kind of deal? What is this? Your generosity. So God predicts what he's going to go through, that Tyre is going to go through a time of refining. But during that time, what God is doing, he's purging out the true in heart, those that truly want to serve him. And through the judgments to come, through those judgments that come, the true children of God endure. You've endured for a while, but not, you're kind of catching hold. You know you're not going to be down all the time. King Solomon's wealth wasn't last. And in the 11th chapter, in the 33, it says, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and not went fully after the Lord as David his father did. Then Solomon built in place for Chemosh the abomination of Moab in the hill that is before Jerusalem for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise he did for all of his strange wives which burn incense and sacrifice unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice and had commanded him concerning these things, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as you've done of these, and thou hast not kept my covenant, my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. By giving God's resources to others, sometimes your own relatives will pull you down. You trying to help them because what's happening, you getting in the way of God punishing them. You won't prosper because your blessings God's giving you, you're using them to prop someone up that God's punishing. God whips others. That's why if a parent's always bailing his child out, they said the president's father, each business endeavor he would go into, that his father would bail him out many millions and billions of dollars. As he got his wealth, what he did, he turned on his own brother. His own brother was sick, and his brother's son was sick or whatever. He cut his insurance policy, and he cut him all off. That's why Mary Trump, the one who wrote the book and thing about him, has turned because this is what he did to my father. Because his father played favorites with him. See, the father can't show partiality. Each one of his sons has to be strong. He has to make something, but he made him what he is. And it was only after the press and people asked him about it, why you don't have any pictures of your mother in the White House? Why only pictures of your father? It's because the mother stood with him and stood with Ivanka, whatever his first wife named, the one he divorced, and said, what have I created here? The mother was kind of ashamed of him, but he was ashamed of the mother also because she realized as a woman, this is not right. That's why a lot of the psychologists and a lot of the people say, he has such a vendetta against powerful women, against women. If you notice, he has a deep-seated hatred of women. It's because his mother told his wife, Trump's wife, as she's divorcing him, what have we created here? Solomon had a problem with women. If you notice in the book of Proverbs, in his things about the adulterous women and different women, he said, out of 1,000 women, he hadn't found one right. Let's kind of go back and analyze the problem here, Solomon. If you got 700 wives and 300 concubines, maybe you the problem, you know. So as the children of Israel in the book of Judges, it says they forsook the Lord and served the Baal. And God rebuked them for that. It says, and all the people of that generation were gathered to their fathers in death, and another generation arose after them who did not know or recognize or understand the Lord, even the Lord which he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord and worshiped and served the Baals. Now they abandoned the Lord thy God. And that's when they served Asherah and all that. That's Judges, the second chapter, 10 through 15, 14 through 40. The people went in, just like the United States today. We have to be careful, and that's why I say I'm giving you a lot of reading and making quotes today, because God's looking for willing consecration unto him. God's looking for a willing heart to serve him, not out of a force. And the people, that 18th verse that says, and her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured nor laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing and goods. In other words, you notice today there are those, a good bit of them, and I don't want to name parties, but a lot of them are for sharing the wealth. That's why they didn't elect Bernie Sanders, because they say he's a socialist. In other words, he believes in health care for all. he believes, he said the stimulus should be only $1,200. It should be $2,000 or $3,000. Canada has given its people $2,000 or $3,000 a month doing these things. Because the government, and let me not go into that portion of it, but you have to have a willing heart. But a lot of people are like the church at Laodicea or whatever. They don't have a willing heart, and they're giving, they give grudgingly. I noticed this when the president was at a church they showed on television. He was holding about $80 there, and he looked like he didn't want to give it, but he wanted everybody to see what he was giving. Well, that's how giving shouldn't be. Exodus 25 and 2 says, "Tell the children of Israel to take an offering for me from every man whose heart moves him to give willingly, you shall take up our offering." If you give him willingly, not by compulsion, not by me saying this and building a big famous church and taking money for all these, and I got to have a jet to give out the gospel and Mercedes and all this, but willingly. The people gave willingly. Verse 9 says, "Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy that the people were saying, huh, look, just take this because this is for the Lord." In other words, God had convicted them. And the Tyrians, you see that portion of the Tyrians says, "Take in heart," verse 16, "and go about the city, thou harlot, that thou hast been forgotten. Make sweet melody, sing many songs that thou mayest be remembered." There are still some that accumulated and coveted wealth even at this time or whatever. But there are those that say, God says, how do you do this to me? He says, when you feed the poor, you feed the needy, when you do this for these, the least of these, you do it unto me. That's servicing the Lord. These people were servicing the Lord. Exodus 17 verse of the, I mean, First Chronicles, the 29th chapter and 17th verse. He says, "I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and had pleasure in the uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and I have seen with joy the people which are present here to offer willingly unto us." So we have those within this church. Each year, you give a few $100, $200 or $300 or above that, according to you, because it's just something that you said, this is something I want to do. And I'm like, I'm filling out, check with somebody and say, well, Pastor, this is just what I want to do for the church. Because Paul said that, I'll do that in my conclusion and tell you about that. But Hezekiah and all of the kings, as the people assemble, that shows a grace of God. Remember I told you, humble yourself under the hand of God, and he'll give you greater grace. Yeah. He'll give you more grace. 2 Corinthians, yeah, that'd be part of my clothes also. 8th chapter and the 12th verse says, "If you are really eager to give, then it is important how much you have to give. God wants you to give what you have, not what you haven't." That's why it kind of bothers me to say, well, Lord bless them that gave and those that didn't have it to give. Well, I'm kind of questioning why they didn't have it to give. I know sometimes, just like the other day when Sister Jackson was, couldn't get the right change or something, and she said, well, look, just put it all in there at once or whatever, because normally you'll see she puts each offering in there each time or whatever. I was raised up, my mother always gave me something to put in the offering or whatever, so we would see giving. But also not letting the left hand know what the right hand is doing. If she just put it all in there once at one time, well, that's covering her for the time that she didn't put it in there, because it's already put in there, right? You understanding what I'm saying? But it's some people that don't never have anything. Well, now, hold on now. You don't never have anything, but you living and existing, it's all where you could be like the widow that only gave two mites. So if you're not giving to the Lord, it's because the Lord is not giving to you, right? God blesses those, and that's why he says that he blesses us so we would have it to give and to give that others that don't have. That's why you see God people helping other people and giving to others. That's why you see all these people working in food lines and doing that. I didn't say that everybody that does these things or whatever, but there are some that give up their Thanksgiving, their Christmases and things. They help others. There are some that's working in these food lines as churches, and the Catholic Church is famous for it, for giving and giving and helping others and helping other people. God had blessed them to be givers. We must remember God knows and He's trying our hearts. Let me give Him this amount and see what He could do with it. Well, if you give that out, if you give that talent out, well, with that talent, He gives you more. He gives you seed for the sower. The sower supplies the seed. He says, as for you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your fathers have a personal knowledge of Him. Be acquainted with and understand Him, appreciate, heed, and cherish Him. That's what David was telling Solomon, to know God. And that's what I teach to you. Have intimacy with to know God, but to know God is to know His Word. To have a relationship with God through His Word. And an understanding and appreciating heed what God's doing for. And serve Him with a blameless heart. And with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all our hearts and minds and understands every intent and inclination of the thought. Why are you giving? For what reason are you giving? What's motivating you to give? Are you giving just to receive? Are you giving because of the goodness of your heart, what God has given for you, and that He had changed your heart? That God had touched your heart. If you seek Him, inquiring of Him, and requiring Him as a vital necessity, He will let you find Him. But if you abandon or turn away from Him and start coveting, notice that these people wasn't storing up. They was giving. Tyre was giving its holiness unto the Lord. You're not looking for the mar. You're not looking for, I'm not saying it's wrong to save money or whatever, but you're not like the man that's saying, I'll build bigger barns. Now your soul is required of you. Maybe if you'd have been giving away some of that stuff that you were storing. Maybe when we have gasoline shortages, instead of these preachers that's bragging about that they got a tank at their house or whatever, maybe if he's giving other people some of this gas, but you're looking out for yourself. Maybe during these food shortages, if you're giving out food, if you're giving out money, if you're helping during the time of need. But don't say bless you and send away the people hungry and to see the people have need. You have more people that's going to be evicted after Christmas and coming up because they didn't pass the stimulus. They didn't get the unemployment checks. The nation has abandoned these hardworking people. If you read some of the cases, if you look online and see what's going on with some of the people that are essential workers that we are pressing at this time, and we are accumulating wealth and sitting back and looking and laying up in luxury and fighting over PS5s and all these other things and not caring for the least of these. So, they were God's people. God had sent Hiram, I told you he was from, let me tell you, 7th chapter, 1 Kings 13 to the 3rd verse. Hiram was a widow son of the tribe of Naphtali. And his father was a man of Tyre, a worker in brass. And he was filled with wisdom and understanding and cunning work to all works in brass. And he came to King Solomon and wrought all his work. God fills the heart during the Old Testament time, as he does today. A lot of people talk about the Spirit today as God changing the heart. But listen at these two or three verses, and I have some more listed. Exodus 31 and 3, he says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge in all manner of workmanship to work on the temple of God, to work. God has been doing this the whole time. All through creation, God has been laying things on people's heart, opening up their understanding, giving them the talent that they have. Many a times I've had people, I remember she was worried about different people that was moving the area, Sister Shay and different people, but she's probably the only one over there still selling and still doing good. Because God blesses his people. God sees you wherever you are. Exodus 36 and 1 through 2 says, "Then wrought Bezaleel, Elohim, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezaleel and all of the women." The women. So don't separate this and just say it is men. The women gave. They embroidered things for the temple. Because God had gifted all of us. But whether we're using our gift for ourselves, or we glorifying God with what God had given us. Are you returning unto God? Are you being a light in the world that people can see you? And as I close with this, a whole passage from 2 Corinthians. Listen closely, because this is where grace is multiplied. He says, 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 9. "Now, brothers and sisters, we want to tell you about the grace of God, which has been evident in the churches at Macedonia, awakening in them a longing to contribute. For during an ordeal of severe distress, their abundant joy and their deep poverty together overflowed in the wealth of their lavish generosity, even though they was having hard times. And I have had times with some of my brothers and different people that say, 'I don't have but a few, but I'm going to give you a few, and I'm going to take a few. I don't have much, but we can split this together.' A time of generosity," said. It overflowed. He said, I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave voluntarily, begging us insistently for the privilege of participating in the service for the support of the saints in Jerusalem." Look, please let me help. Let me contribute. Let me give some. God had opened up the heart. That's God working on the heart. Not sitting back hoping that they don't ask you. Not sitting back saying, "They might not take up a collection. They might not do this." He says, not only did they give materially as we had hoped, but first they gave themselves to the Lord and to us as his representatives. Now that's the first thing you have to do. You have to give yourself to God. You have to give yourself to God. People pass here and see Sister Harris out there in the wheelchair or something, pulling weeds or working around outside. Sister Jackson come in and do things. Or any of us that just, like I said, I know what time you get here. I know what's going on. Or are you witnessing in your home? Where are you giving to people? What are you doing? First, you got to give of yourself. Fully committed, as we have, that by the will of God, disregarding their personal interests and giving as much as they possibly could. So we urge Titus that as he began it, he should also complete this gracious work among you as well. But just as you excel in everything and lead the way in faith, in speech, see, God, people have to see your faith. If you're going around complaining and whining, don't be a bad example for this church, though. Don't let people see you do that and then say you go here. Like the young men and thing going around with their pants all sagging and hanging down and going on. You got a lot of rap, curse music and all this thing. If you're acting in all these kind of ways, don't say you go here. Don't. And hopefully you ain't here. You know, I would rather, you just need a few people, but you are bright on, that's what God told David. Said, "Hold on, David. By you doing this, you've caused shame to come upon my name and the sword will never leave your house." He said, in speech, that's why I told you about in conversation. If you out there with all this old crazy talking and curse in conversation, and it says in knowledge, because Peter said all these things should be increasing in you. That's why I want to have more Bible study and more teaching, because, well, I don't know much about the Lord, but I know a little. Well, I know you need to know much. You need to have a hunger and know God. You need to study and know the whole Word of God, the whole counsel of God, because you're accountable for it. That's how you grow in grace and knowledge, because now you're not ignorant of these other things. He says, in genuine concern. It has to be a genuine. See, because you have false piety. It's got people that be nice. I tell you, that's what this station is. It's a bunch of hypocrites, a lot of them. And in your love for us, see that you excel in this gracious work of giving also. A gracious work of giving? In other words, giving is a grace? He says, I am not saying this as a command. You can't command someone to be gracious, to dictate it to you, but to prove by pointing out the enthusiasm of others, the sincerity of your love as well. For you are recognizing more clearly the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His astonishing kindness and His generosity, His gracious favor, that though He was rich, yet for our sake He became poor, and that by His poverty you might become rich. So sometimes, as they say, give to it hurt. Give sacrificially. David said, I won't give to the Lord something that didn't cost me anything. Arona said he was going to give him the threshing floor. He says, no, I'm going to pay for it. He says, be a cheerful giver, and God will give you a gracious spirit. Some people's kindness start overflowing. You didn't met people that's gracious. They just have that gracious gift of giving that's open. You don't want to be known for being a tight fist, a tight war. Giving is a gift of God. Being a gracious gift, giver of God, is a gift, a spiritual gift that grows. If we have ever increase in faith, ever increase in knowledge, we will have ever increase in grace and giving. Because you can't beat the Lord giving, and the more He gives to you, the more you should give away. You can't hoard this, so you should increase in knowledge, because are you out there giving away this that I'm giving you? I haven't held anything back on the gospel. I've declared the whole gospel unto you. So you should tell others. A lot of times, do you tell people stuff and they say, you know, I didn't know that. I hadn't heard that before. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, strengthen us in your word and in your way, Lord God. In doing those things that are pleasing unto you, Lord God, that we take heed unto